Yes, good morning all. Wednesday, April 24, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. And Anzac Day is looming, of course, one of the great days on the Australian calendar as we salute all our diggers, past and present, and great sport on tomorrow as always as well, Lozer. I know it's one of your favourite days of the year, as it is for a lot of us, I think.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, wonderful day, isn't it, Australia, where we celebrate and acknowledge all the wonderful things our servicemen and women have done for the country over a long period of time. And without them, we certainly wouldn't have the freedoms we have today. So it is the best day on the calendar. Really looking forward to watching the sport over the next couple of days as well. And also the everything that goes along with the sport, you know, the ode on the day, the emotion that's stirred up, the respect that everyone shows to our servicemen and women. I just think it's wonderful. I think it's brilliant. Looks like it's going to be a magic day. And the sport always delivers on Anzac Day and in the lead up. So it's exciting times for anyone that gets an opportunity to play on Anzac Day. Not only are they representing their clubs, but they're representing and thinking about what's happened in the past. And I think we should never forget. We don't forget, but we always should pay homage to all those people that did a lot for our country.
We do it so well in this country on Anzac Day, no doubt about that. And we've got three games in the NRL, two games in the AFL over the course of the day. And I'm flying to Adelaide this afternoon ahead of, we're doing the show at the Grange on Friday ahead of LIV Golf. And we're going to speak to Nick Haslam, the tournament director over there ahead of the 3 days at the Grange Golf Club, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, later this morning. It'll be interesting to get his take on just how big this has become so quickly. Because over a long period of time, we've lamented the lack of travel from top golfers to places like Australia. It was interesting the other day, I saw when the Masters, the nationalities of the Masters players came up. And, you know, I think it was 41 from the USA. Well, the next most represented country was Australia. Six golfers we had at the Masters. And, you know, considering our history in the sport, we don't get enough of the top golfers coming here to play. But LIV Golf is delivering that for us.
Yeah, well, I think it was the President's Cup was the last sort of event that I attended on a golf course, and that was down there in Melbourne. And I know you got the best golfers from around the world, or not around the world, but America and Europe and out here in Australia. But the amount of people that turned up and watched, you know, it was fascinating just to see the numbers. And then I watched on telly last night Cameron Smith, and I think it was Mark Leishman with him, they were signing autographs, and the queues were massive down there in Adelaide. So, you know, they get a chance to see these golfers that they don't often get a chance to see if they're lucky enough to go overseas, or occasionally one of them might come down here and play, but not regularly. So it's great that we're able to get down there and just to see the atmosphere of last year. You know, I know we talk about the party hole and we have a bit of a joke about it on this program, but it's more than that. It's golf fans loving the fact that they get an opportunity to see world-class players and players that were highly ranked that made the decision to go to LIV Golf. They're enjoying LIV Golf. And interesting to hear Cameron Smith say that he believes the joint venture is still a long time away. He doesn't think it's happening anytime soon. So it might be the future, especially down here in Australia.
Certainly, and tonight there's some sport on as well. Nikita Zhu defends his Australian super welterweight title against Danilo Criati. That's in Sydney. Bit of drama at the weigh-in. We'll get into that. Always a bit of drama in the weigh-in, though, isn't there? We'll get into that this morning. Richmond are playing Melbourne tonight at the MCG in the AFL as well, just as a lead-in to Anzac Day. But, gee, there's some news around. Plenty of the Cronulla Sharks. There's a huge story at the Bulldogs, which is front and back page of the Australian as well, which we'll get into when we do the headlines. Let's start with a real positive. Well, it's a positive and a negative, really, in regards to Dale Finucane and Loz's press conference called there yesterday morning at Cronulla. And it was revealed that, And on the same day as well, that Wally Lewis addressed the National Press Club in Canberra to detail his experience living with suspected CTE and calling for additional funding to help people affected and just the issue generally. Dale Finucane retired immediately, 32 years of age, 251 games, absolute warrior across his career at the Bulldogs, the Melbourne Storm and the Sharks, and said, well, the medical advice was that I retire. He played five origins for New South Wales, a couple of premierships there with the Melbourne Storm as well in 2017 and 2020.
Oh, he's been a warrior, hasn't he? I think a lot of people have described him as a warrior the last couple of days. He left nothing in the tank, and the way he played was the way he trained. He played 251 games, which is a big career for a forward. And he was only at the Sharks for a limited amount of time. I think he played 33 games, but he made a massive impact just with his professionalism and the way he went about it. So there's, you know, he's been a courageous player. But unfortunately, for all players, at some stage, your time is up. He would have loved to have continued on, but the facts were the people that he consulted about the number of injuries that he suffered, any particular head knocks that he suffered, led him to the belief that he had no decision to make. And the right decision was he had to retire. And he's done that. He's put his health as his priority. It's a big topic in the game. It's a big topic in all sporting codes around the world, in particular contact sports. The issue of concussion, it's a debate or a discussion that's going to continue to be ongoing in the years to come. All sports are concerned about where it's headed. And they're trying to put sort of rules in place to try and stop players from putting themselves at risk. And this is just another example of Cronulla, I think, putting, and I think Dale mentioned it himself, putting the player before the person. And, you know, after discussions with a lot of people, he knew that the right decision for him was not to continue to play.
And we'll have Dale Finucane on the show during Bulldogs segment just after 8 o'clock this morning as well. Well, as far as on the field is concerned, plenty of big names back. Nathan Cleary, the big one, Loz, back there for Penrith. They play the Cowboys this week.
Yeah. Oh, look, anytime you're welcome back a player that's in your starting 17, it's always a big welcome addition. But to have the best player in the game walk back into your side, it gives everyone a big boost. Penrith, they haven't hit their straps this season, but there's a number of reasons why, and one of them would be the fact that Cleary's missed the last couple of games, taking on the Cowboys, who were dreadful last week against the Sharks. They were very ordinary, and they're another team that they need a response, because they played finals in 2022, and everyone thought that this is a team on the rise and this is a team that can win a comp in the next couple of years. And last year they didn't make the finals. They've started a bit shaky this year. They're leaking plenty of points. It's not a priority for them at the moment, their defence. So if they're not up to scratch, then Penrith will put a score on them. But I think the Cowboys will aim up this week. I still couldn't tip them against the Panthers, but I think it'll be a tighter game, and they'll give a better account of themselves than they did against the Sharks on the weekend.
GWS Loz had 50% success at the tribunal last night. Toby Green, captain and superstar, he failed to have his one-match suspension for rough conduct cleared. So he misses the match against Brisbane tomorrow night at Marnik Roval, but Jesse Hogan's free to play. The tribunal panel said there was just not enough force in his strike on Carlton's Lewis Young. It looked like if he got him, he went to get him, but he didn't really get him.
No, well, he braced at the last moment,
didn't he? Oh, sorry, I was talking about the strike.
Oh, sorry, the strike. Yeah. No, he didn't get him at all. But the Toby Green one, it's his first suspension in 2.5 years. I think it was his 8th suspension overall. Mm. But sometimes you feel players like Toby are a little bit targeted, but I think where we are in today's world, any contact with the head, you always put yourself at risk of facing a tribunal or the judiciary in rugby league. So, unfortunately for Toby, I don't know what he's to do in that situation. I think they want him to go through with the action. So that'll be dangerous as well if you go through with the action, because you put both players at risk then, I think. Mm. But I suppose if you're the initiator, you're you're going for that ball. Well, who is the initiator? One's going back for the ball, one's going forward for the ball. Who do you call the initiator?
I suppose it's the person going forward for the ball. It's, I don't know, every circumstance is different, isn't it, Lewis?
Yeah. Well, it is. But, yeah, I don't know. But if both players are going for the football and there's an accident, it's an accident.
Well, that's it. What's every player's natural reaction when that ball's in the
air? Yeah, and every reaction is if you can't get there at the last moment, you're going to brace. Mm. But I understand why they want to start cracking down because we saw that horrible incident in the semi-final with Angus Brayshaw.
Yeah, yeah.
From Maynard. And that caused a lot of debate. Mm. And I think they took out a football action. Well, that's what it used to be.
If you leave the ground, you've got to smother. You're going to have to accept the consequences if you end up collecting your opponent.
Yeah.
Okay, just on the text line, how do I listen to last shows? It used to be on the Big Sports Breakfast website. The page has changed. I'll have to find out, but wherever you get your podcast, just search Big Sports Breakfast. That's the easiest way. So on your phone, you should have a podcast app. I guess it depends what phone you've got. So they still have the Nokia 5110? Is that still around? But just wherever your podcast, just click on your podcast app, search Big Sports Breakfast, and there it will be. Well, this is a story you're going to hear about a lot today and through the coming days as well. It is front and back page of the Australian newspaper. It's a special investigation. And the headline is, on the front page, Deprivation of Liberty. Broken Bulldog puts club on trial. On the back page, Club That Ate Its Own is the headline there. And essentially, Jackson Taupine is suing the club. $4 million lawsuit with the Dogs accused of deprivation of liberty, unlawful corporal punishment. He's claiming he was detained, subjected to assault and battery and humiliation. And the claim is that Taupine has suffered psychiatric injury, physical and mental impairment. And this comes back to, it was reported last year, so he's obviously now that he's suing the club, his name is out there, Jackson Taupine. This is a result of this 90-minute wrestling session in July last year. And, there's testimony here or statements from players, which may be past now or all present players at the Bulldogs. So this will be a story which will be large loss, and we'll see where it... And you just wonder, though, where this all ends. What if the Bulldogs are found to be, liable for all this, and what that means for their staff there at the club, how this changes approach to players going forward, how, we're not talking about club footy here. No. Park footy. This is the NRL.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It's going to be a good test case. And again, you can't say too much because we don't have a great understanding of what has actually occurred. There's always two sides to the story.
Well, the Dogs are denying it.
Well, I'm assuming they would. I couldn't imagine them putting their hand up and saying, yeah, all that happened under our watch. But again, you don't know the players' situation. You hear stories. One thing you don't want to see is ever legal action happening between player and club. And we just don't know what the outcomes will be. One thing I do know, when you go to a professional organisation and you go to a football club, you do train hard and you do put yourself in situations that are uncomfortable. And at any professional environment, you'll talk about being in uncomfortable situations and getting used to it and being able to push through it and pushing your boundaries and testing your limits. Again, I'm unsure of what's happened, but we'll find out more. There's not a real lot we can say, actually, because we don't know what's occurred. But one thing I don't like seeing is litigation. I don't like to see that, but, that's a choice that the young man has made, and we'll find out what's occurred, and no doubt we'll find out a lot more over the coming days and weeks, but it'd be something that both parties will fight hard about.
Definitely, as the Bulldogs in this article, they're quoted to the Australian. The club will say there are a number of allegations that we categorically deny, but doesn't specify which allegations they are.
No, you can understand not going into chapter and verse about it in the paper. Yeah. You'll save that for the courts and the lawyers to argue and discuss. But everyone's got entitled to their right, and that's why it's always difficult when these things are raised, because we're unsure of what's actually occurred. So you've got to get all the information, and the best people to do that is when it goes to the courts in front of a judge and they actually decide the outcome.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate situation for both former player Jackson Taupine and the Dogs that it's come to this. But as Loz says, this will be a very interesting test case and what it all means going forward at the highest level. The highest level, the NRL.
Well, I think I've said on this program before, I can see the day where a coach will get himself into some trouble with a half-time speech or a pre-game speech or an after-match speech.
When they deliver, that's very unfortunate, considering the nature of the game.
I think we're heading down that path. Mm.
Okay, on the back page of the Daily Telegraph, triple threat, Shark Stars, DUI, drugs and licence charges. So, as well as the Sharks there yesterday, you had the Dale Finucane retirement, and then this came out. Well, the Sharks did release a statement confirming that Braden Trindle, who's been in great form, he failed an initial roadside alcohol and illicit drug tests early on Monday morning. Naturally, they were celebrating a big win over the Cowboys there on Sunday evening. So he's been stood down for the match against Canberra this week. Daniel Atkinson comes in. He'll face Sutherland Court there on May 17. And the NRL Integrity Unit is investigating, Loz. Just when we were speaking about, as I mentioned yesterday, Gus during commentary on Sunday afternoon said there was a bit of a street corner tip about him for Origin. But everyone's name is going to be thrown up in the next 5 weeks, we know. But he has been in sensational form. So this is extremely, well, it's never great timing, these sort of incidents, but particularly considering where his own form and the Sharks are at the moment.
Oh, Sharks are flying, and that's the last thing they wanted to have happen yesterday, and in particular have happen on the day that a great servant of their club, Dale Finucane, has announced his retirement. So they'd be disappointed that he's failed that roadside alcohol test. Now, the illicit drug test, it could be a false positive, so we've got to wait and see on that. But they were also talking about he was driving on not a licence. Like
it was expired.
So that'll be another issue for young Trindle. But obviously out celebrating the night before, I think they said they were at Toby Rudolph's house. And he kicked him out about midnight. And then he continued
because he's on a self-imposed ban. Alcohol ban.
You put yourself in that situation, you've got to pay the penalty, in particular when it comes to alcohol and driving.
And on the back page of the Courier Mail, that hurts. One step forward, two steps back as more injury woes hit the Broncos. So they've got some big names back, though. They play the Tigers. That's at Campbelltown on Saturday. Reynolds, Haas, Piacura, Mariner. But Selwyn Cobbo's out, shoulder issue. Ezra Mem has a finger injury. It's likely those two just miss a week, but gee, they're big ins, aren't they, for the Bronx? And off the back of that performance last week, the Tigers, look out. Look who's coming.
Well, they got some strike, haven't they, the Brisbane Broncos? The Tigers last week against Penrith, they tried hard, but it just showed you the gap between the two teams. And I consider the Broncos to be up there near Penrith. I think Penrith and the Broncos are by far the best two teams in the comp, by far. I think everyone else is chasing those two teams. The Tigers, 2 weeks in a row, they've had to play the competition favourites. It could be a tough afternoon. But the Broncos are doing it okay at the moment because they're just hanging in there, winning a few games, not having their best team on the park. But I think what they would have learnt out of playing in that grand final last year will hold them in good stead towards the back end of the year if they can have everyone in the park. I think they're a serious challenge to Penrith. But at this stage, you just see Penrith as the team to beat still, which is remarkable.
Incredible, isn't it? And the betting markets reflect that as well. As far as their odds to win the title are concerned, gee, what are they? $3.25 this early in the season. That is nice and short.